Christ.
There were two big things that I missed, and that is that our courses are being considered by Open University. Now, if that comes to pass and we get the credit points that I'm hoping we will, that will be fantastic to go across the estate. That will really work big time for us. And it's in such a way that we can get the credit points as an introduction to Open University, which means, one, we won't incur any fees for our students, and two, no hassle from them either. So do pray about that as well, and also the person who's working with me to put the courses together. We've got 3 months' money for that person, and we've taken them on that basis, and we're praying that the Lord's going to send the rest as we go along. And I also forgot to tell you, we've started a new person in HM Berwyn as well, and we've got 6 months' money for that person, and praying that the Lord will send the rest. Right, would you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. There's just so much happening in CPR, but it is, all of it is just so thrilling. It really is. I say chapter 4, I think actually to make better sense of it, we should start from chapter 3. And we'll take it from verse 13. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Everyone got it? Who wants to get it? If not, listen to David. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Every word of the Bible from Genesis all the way through to the end of Revelation is the word of God. When I come to this chapter, it is, of course, the word of God, and it has no preeminence over any other part. But there's something in me that says Jesus himself just had this special design that you and I should understand this. Why? because it was only Jesus and the devil there. Amen? That's a great point. I can stop there and you can say, that is just to be meditated on day and night. Amen? But it is, isn't it? Jesus himself was there. The devil was there, and the devil's not going to tell you how to overcome temptation. So Jesus himself made sure that this was, of course, recorded accurately. And when it comes to temptation, there isn't a person in this room, young or older, or even older, and notice that my eyes went down then, yes. There isn't a person in this room, in this gathering, who isn't subject to temptation. And if you think you're not subject to temptation, then there is a problem. And the problem is that you're so deceived that you just can't even see the temptation that you're in. Temptation is unrelenting. It's a part of human existence. You cannot go to a place to run away from it. You could lock yourself in a room. You could be in the segregation unit in Belmarsh Prison and still not hide from temptation. You could be with 1,000 friends and not hide from temptation. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whether it's a beautiful location, whether it's a horrible location, you will be subject to temptation. You can do something as innocent as gardening, and your mind can be full of awful thoughts, and you are in temptation. So, if you're serious about overcoming temptation, you may have tried many tactics, you may have tried many methods, and you've almost certainly done all manner of things to try and overcome. And we read of those who have done such things as self-mutilation. They've deprived themselves. They've starved themselves. Some have pretended it wasn't real. They've tried all manner of tactics to overcome temptation. And our Lord, here in this passage, is going to show us some keys to overcoming temptation. So, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Interesting, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit of God can lead you to a place where you will be tempted. I learned this very early in my Christian life. It was quite an interesting time because this particular event, this type of thing very, very rarely happens to me. But I hadn't been a Christian very long. I'd given up a number of things to have a clean break from the things of this world, as it were, or as clean as I could make it anyway. And I was praying at home, and I had this overwhelming sense that the Lord wanted me to go into this nightclub, and there I would find a man and lead him to the Lord. And I was so overwhelmed with this, it wouldn't leave me. So I tried phoning the pastor of the church, couldn't get hold of him. And there were about 8 elders altogether. And I tried phoning every single one of them, and I couldn't get hold of one of them. It turned out they were all in a meeting together. So I said, all right, Lord, I'll go. But if I get into any trouble, i.e. if I fall into temptation, I'm out of there. Because if you go to a nightclub, you're really going for girls, you're going for alcohol, and you're going for the punch-up afterwards. And I thought I'd finish with all of that. Well, I had finished all of that. So I thought, if I'm tempted in any of those areas, I'm out of there, and I've clearly got it wrong. Well, within the first 10 minutes, I nearly get stabbed. But that wasn't a temptation. That was just a trial. So that was okay. We got through that one. And then I'm trying to find this person that Jesus wanted for himself. And I thought, well, how do you find this person? So I'm going around looking for this person. So this guy leaps up and he says, are you looking at my bird? What's going on here? And I said, no, mate. I said, I'm looking for the person that Jesus is calling to himself. He said, oh, that's all right then. So he sat back down. So I'm still looking for this person. And there was one place left to go. And it had like this mock river that ran through this nightclub. And on the other side was this cave. And I thought, I do not want to go in that cave. But I thought, okay, quick look, straight in, straight out, and that's it. I'm done. I've missed the word of the Lord and confused or whatever. Went over this bridge leading to it. And there's this guy sitting there. And he had a girl on one knee and a girl on the other knee. And as I came towards him, and I saw who he was. I knew him. He worked for me a long time ago. And he brushed these two ladies off his knees as I said to him, Jesus Christ is calling you to himself. We went up onto the downs. We sought the Lord. And from that day until this, he's followed the Lord. But the point is, the Lord can lead you into a place where you will be tempted, but the Lord will never tempt you, ever. He is not the tempter. So, Jesus is in this hostile environment, the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So what does that tell you about the type of fast he was on? The Bible speaks about three types of fasting. There's the absolute fast, where you have nothing at all passing your lips. There is what we usually call the normal fast, where you have water, but not solids. Then there's the partial fast, like with Daniel, when he gave up particular things, especially due to the situation he was in. Well, this one surely is the normal fast, because at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, but it doesn't say anything at all about being thirsty. Then the tempter came to him. Now, folks, the way we read, if you are the Son of God, is all important here. Because you could read it that he is trying to tempt Jesus to think he's not the Son of God. But if you back up to what we just saw at the baptism, there was this overwhelming manifestation of the Trinity. Jesus himself, of course, was baptized. The Spirit came upon him like a dove. And the Father spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So the dynamism of the Trinity did not cease whilst Jesus was on earth. Read in John, several places in John, where it talks about Jesus not doing anything except by the initiative of the Father. So I do not believe, even for a millisecond, that Jesus was being tempted to doubt he was the Son of God. If you look at the Greek, and yes, I do read Greek a little, bit rusty, but if you read it, you can understand it to mean this. Since you are the Son of God, because you're the Son of God. Now, you can find that in a number of other places too, like in Romans chapter 2, I think it is, where that if very much is since, i.e., if you're the Son of God, since you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Now listen to this. You're in a position, perhaps at school, where you're bigger than somebody else, right? So you've got the opportunity to take advantage. Or perhaps you're in a work situation, you're the boss, and because you're the boss, you can do this or you can do that. Or perhaps you're somebody of great wealth, and because you've got so much money, you can do this and you can do that. But the question is, should you? Should you? Is it the right thing? Is it right before God for you to do that? Or is it that God is tempting you through your position to do this, that, or the other? I remember preaching this in one of the jails, and a man came up to me and he said, "You know, for the first time in my life, I've realized why I'm in jail. I'm a father, and I did things that I never should have done, because I had the opportunity as a father." Jesus, if you're the Son of God, you're hungry, there are stones, you can turn those stones into bread. And what's the matter? You're hungry? You need to eat? Is there a problem? The devil will try and cause you from a position of might or power, whatever it might be, to do something because you can. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus would sooner be hungry than to miss what God is saying. He'd sooner starve than miss the very words that come from his Father. And you know, there's something about the devil where he'll often promise you which God is going to give you anyway. But he promises you a shortcut. Look, just flick over to the verse 11. In our passage. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. What do you think the angels did when they attended him? I reckon they had a barbecue. I reckon they gave him food. They ministered to him. Didn't that happen to one of the prophets in the Old Testament? Didn't the angels do the very same thing? Listen, Jesus would have missed out on the angels attending him. Messengers from God to do this thing. How many times have you and how many times have I missed out on what God had in mind for me or for you because we decided to go the way of the temptation instead of resisting it and seeing how God would deliver us? That's a sad thing. We've missed out on the fellowship of God. We've missed out on the provision of God. Wasn't it true for Abraham when he took his son, his only son, and he was going to provide him as a sacrifice? But he knew that God would provide. Hebrews 11 tells us that. Now, a little bit further on, that's verse 2. And then when you come down to, is it verse 14 of that same chapter, it talks about the Lord will provide. Brothers and sisters, when we try to do it another way, when we give in, when we give way to the sin, when we give way to the temptation, just because we can, we're missing out on receiving the provision of God, which will strengthen us for the future and will strengthen us for that next temptation. Okay, let's move to the next one. Then the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you're the Son of God, since you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Young men, have you ever seen Superman or Spider-Man? What do you reckon? If you could leap off the tall buildings and just touch down, would you like that? Fantastic. That's what Jesus was being offered. You leap off this, the angels, you can touch down. And the crowds go, whoa! But after they go, whoa, they say, what's your next trick? He could have done it. By the way, a bit of homework for you. I want you to look up this verse that the devil's quoting from. It's Psalm 91, 11 and 12. And see the little bit that was clipped off. It's quite sneaky, this. The devil does that. He uses scripture, but he clips a bit off. And here, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And do you know something, Jesus? You can short circuit that cross. How did Jesus answer? This is how he answered. It is also written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Sometimes in our evangelism, if we're not careful, we can put the Lord our God to the test. We can say to folks, you know, God surely will be with you on this. Just do this and just test it and see if it's God or not. You can't do it like that. That isn't how you do it. They have to trust God and see what the outcome is. Because usually when we're telling them or trying to tell them to test God in this, what we're really saying to them is, this is the outcome that you can expect if you trust God. That's testing God. You don't know God's mind. I don't know God's mind. And Jesus just sums it all up, doesn't he? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's a little bit like provision, isn't it? When we perhaps want something and we can justify this thing. It's not a real need. It's not like the tools that we need, literally the tools we need for our work. But it's something that we want. And we're prepared to get a loan. And we're going to get the loan and presume upon good health to pay back the loan. Personally, I think it's testing God. Different of its tools, of its necessities. And you have to go in that direction. There are so many things that we take because we want and because we can. Brothers and sisters, surely God is leading us to a place where he's wanting us to be so dependent upon him, that we are so trusting him, that we have to die to the flesh. We have to die to ourselves. We have to know that denial that Jesus Christ will be real to us in that situation. Now, I need to move quickly because I know there's a trap door around here and it will open at 8:30. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. Now listen, he's moved from Mr. Nice Guy. He's moved from trying to slide up alongside. And now he's showing his true colors. I mean, if we could just hear the voice as it really is. All this I'll give you, if you will bow down and worship me. Look, you got it there. That's what he's after. He was after that all along. Because what he wanted was Jesus to break fellowship with the Father, to move out from obedience to the Father, to doing his own thing, and therefore sin coming in. And the devil would have known that if sin comes in, he's then got control. But now he's showing his true colors. But Jesus is Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Brothers, sisters, young men, young ladies, every time we give way to temptation, we are moving away from the worship of our Lord, from the service to our Lord, to serving another. Did the devil leave him? Yes, he did. Did he leave him forever? No, he didn't. And there will be seasons in your life when you find his activity is particularly prolific in your life. And he tries to wear you down. He tries to get you to the place where you're going to say, you know, I just don't care. He's going to batter you this way and that until in the end, you just won't let go. It's a season. You will have the authority at the end of that season to stay away from me. Sure, he'll be back. But after that season, and after what you've learned in that season, you will be even more equipped for the battle to come. And then, in those closing words, the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Brothers and sisters, one of the glorious things about not giving way to temptation is how the Lord ministers to you at the end of that temptation. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are so often tempted from the position that we have. And the foolish thing is that position that you gave us was not of our own making, but it was at your merciful and gracious hand, your kindness, that you entrusted to us a position where we could further your kingdom, where we could honor you even more. Lord, forgive us when we are tempted to believe that that position is for our good and for our gain. Lord, we'd be foolish to say that you have not given us gain. Lord, this day we have enjoyed much bounty on our tables. We have sat under dry roofs. We know the blessing of family, of loved ones. We know the blessing of the church family. Father, the blessings are so great. Lord, may we not be tempted to believe that the position you have given us is for our own furtherance. Because, Lord, we know that in furthering your kingdom, that you will meet all of our needs. Didn't we hear that at the beginning of this service? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all that you need will be given to you as well. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our final hymn before handing over. Do we have a benediction after that, or do we go straight into the table after?